Blog Talk Radio.
Storyboards brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping this set up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. A Team of Voices is owned by Deborah Lee. So thank you very much for running the group and the blog talk page, so we can geek out live. A Team of Voices is sponsored by AP Taylor, so thanks to you too, AP. And here on A Team of Voices, we have different shows every night of the week with different topics and different hosts, with a variety of poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, special events. Here at Storyboards, we focus on characters. We touch on cult classics, D&D, comic books, films, so many things. We focus on characters and the stories that go with them. I am your host, Guy, and tonight we are celebrating our annual D&D Halloween edition, where I hand out some cool character sheets on the darker side, and people have taken some of that information for their character sheets and written us poems, flash fiction stories, and we even have a pretty cool one from JCA. Much like the ones that I love from Ray Bradbury, those radio theaters. So I'm pretty excited to showcase that one. And we opened up with some pretty cool music, and we are closing with the same music, and it is from Baldur's Gate 3. Baldur's Gate is a role-playing game developed and published by Larian Studios. It is the third main installment in the series based on the tabletop role-playing game system of Dungeons & Dragons, and a partial version of the game was released in the early access format at Mac OS Windows and Stadia on 6 October 2020. The game remained in early access until a full release on Windows in August in 2023, and the PlayStation 5 version was released September 2023, and it's pretty cool. I have not played it, but I walked in on my best friend. I was over her house, and she was playing it, and she was so excited to be able to play the different storylines. She said she got to not only stick with one storyline, but be different characters, which I thought was pretty cool, and the graphics were great. She has a great TV for it as well. So without further ado, I would like to invite on my first caller.
Hello, Raconteur.
Hello.
How are you doing?
You need the sound of rolling dice.
I know. I don't have it. I mean, I have dice right here next to my desk. Hold on. Tell me if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
There you go. That's a
pretty high. Can you hear it or no? I don't have a noise canceling.
Yeah, you know, I can
so
hear it.
Sure.
My soul is content now.
Okay, well, that's a pretty heavy die 20. Let me see if we get them all. I shouldn't be rolling these on my desk, though, because these are pretty hardcore. I should have, like, a thing on them. Yeah. I don't want to roll anymore. They're going to gouge out my desk. They're pretty heavy. What were you saying, Rock?
I said it's an icosahedron.
Okay, I got some plastic ones, too. I don't know why I have all these dice all the way over here. You might like this sound better. Here we go. Better? Those aren't...
Very comforting. Very familiar.
I'll put a sound clip in the studio sometime just of the dice rolling. Now I've lost one of my die 20s. It's okay. I'll find it later. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, you know, quiet, feeling the weather go up and down, up and down.
I know, it was 70 degrees here today. I was really surprised. I was like, what happened to my sweater weather? But it was nice, though. I will say it was nice, but I was questioning if we were going backwards in time or what.
Well, I think we got a couple more days of a heat wave, and then it's going to drop again. What I heard, there's going to be a little bit of a spike in the temperature, and then all of a sudden, and then it's going to go back down.
Awesome.
There's a storm coming. There's a storm coming.
I've learned just to live with it, right? Just go with it. So.
One of the wisest things I ever heard. The weatherman would know more about the weather if he stuck his head out the window.
Well, I just ask Alexa every day. I'm really codependent on my Echo. It's like an unhealthy codependent relationship where I just ask her things every morning. What's the weather? What's the time? Set this alarm. Do that. And what's the conversion for this? She's surprised she doesn't go on strike every now and again. Stop asking me questions. All right, well, I'm going to kick off the night, I think, with Jay. And he wrote to, so I'm just going to give one more description. So there are a lot of cryptids, a lot of creatures, and they're all kind of scary-based monsters. And or plays on, like there was a pumpkin spider one, plays on Halloween, and they're just character sheets, and I really give the liberty to kind of go wherever they want. I did it 2 years ago. I didn't end up doing it last year, but I really do enjoy it. And JCA had a dramatization. He doesn't have to text yet. He's going to put out the text later. But honestly, sit back and relax and enjoy this because it's quite brilliant. I did give this one a sneak peek because I was loading it up into the video. And I heard the first little bit, and I'm like, what's happening? And I couldn't help but listen to it. So I did get a little preview. But he had the ooze hound, which is this gnarly-looking creature. I should have put the – you know what? I'm going to go back later and put the character sheets up on the pictures that kind of go through so you guys can see them. But, yeah, here is JCA, and I'm going to press play.
Ooze Hound, the dramatic monologue by JCA. He stands near the scene, freshly plucked latex glove on his left hand. He presses the black triangle. Welcome back to Grits Paranormal. I'm Grits. I've been out here in... What was that? I just heard something. I'm out here in a secluded woods in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm just hearing all sorts of strange noises. I'm not sure what they are, but I found this old abandoned bridge next to this amazing waterfall. I can barely see. It's 3 a.m. outside right now. Of course, the witching hour. Go figure. But there's been a lot of talk about paranormal activity out here with shadows and different things happening, people disappearing. And oh, man. What is that smell? Oh, it's awful. Smells like, I don't know, almost like rotten egg, sulfur, something to that effect. I just don't know what it is. It's so strange. I'm just hearing all these sorts of noises around me. I just don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's got something to do with the waterfall or what, but... Oh, it's starting to sprinkle a little bit. Let me... All right, I'm under the bridge right now. I hope it's not echoing too bad. I hope the waterfall didn't affect the sound too bad, but... What is that? I swear I thought I saw something move by those trees over there. I just can't quite make it out. Oh, that smell. It is getting so much worse. You know, there is a story of a strange cryptid-like creature around these parts, and I'm not sure what is that thing. It's almost like the trees are moving, like there's a bunch of branches moving, and I can't quite make it out. What the? Oh my God! Hold on! Jeez! Oh God! I don't know what the hell that thing is. No! He hits the black button and just stands there, looks down at what used to resemble a man, some strange substance all over the ground, all around him. He has no idea what happened to him. as he's standing there, the lieutenant arrives. Sir, what do you want us to do here? Lieutenant, call in the feds. This is out of our jurisdiction.
Out of my jersey. That's my favorite part. And I remember the first time I was just laughing because I would be saying that too. I would have hit that right before. I love this dramatization, JCA. I hope you listen to the playback. And it was so fun to hear. And yeah, the text is great if you put it on there, but honestly, because of the nature of the presentation, I don't even think it's needed. Like, it is just so fun to listen to you and get into it. And I even heard the water spraying in the background and how you go into and you did bring in certain aspects of the character sheet. And I am going to highlight some of the character sheets, but I want to get to some comments first. But the way that you went from, I don't know if anybody remembers the Blair Witch Project, but it was like D&D style Blair Witch Project. When you just see, all I remember about that whole film was the camera and she had like a runny nose situation. I'm not sure. But I can just see. I'm sorry, Rack.
No, I'm saying, oh my, you, this exact same thing went through my head from Blair Witch to the runny nose. Everything you said was like, it's like I'm picking off. There's just one more thing that you didn't mention that I'm probably, I'm thinking you might not, but I the same thought went through my head when he did it. It's like Blair Witch meets, and then there was an old TV, I think it was a TV show. It might have been a movie, The Blob.
Yeah, I do know that one. Yeah, so it was the reason why it reminded me of the Blair Witch, because he kind of went, this is something from Paranormal Hunters. So like they're going out, they're trying to get this paranormal creature, and I like how he switched on the black button. And when doing a dramatization, kind of saying those little actions like that, and he did it so under the radar, really didn't even take over anything, but it was important to kind of see the scene setting. And I liked how he changed his voice, of course. He does epic voice. I go back to when he always does the Joker, and he did the Penguin one. Oh, my gosh, I love those ones. And this is going to be one of my tops, too. And he just really goes for it. He completely dives in. And he had the background. He had the ominous. He didn't even pause. And it's so, I think it's so easy just to run through and try to get it all out. But when you have those pauses and those stretches, it creates space for a person to think, to feel, and to really get captured by the moment. So I really appreciated the spaces in between right at the beginning when he started doing those lines. And then, of course, when he was like, that smell, what is that smell? And, of course, he was bringing in the character sheet, which I'm going to bring up later. And at the very end, when he's like, this is out of our jurisdiction, I can just see the local cops just being like, no. Somebody else is going to come and do this. I'm not cleaning this up. And how nasty it must have all been through his description. We can just imagine it. Awesome. So excited to get that sound. I'm so glad you signed up, JCA, because I really enjoy when you sign. I enjoy when you sign up for anything, but when you do the special editions and the twists, you really knock them out of the park. Thank you so much, Raconteur. What do you think?
Yeah, you from beginning to end, all the things that you the feelings that got, you know, from the Ray Bradbury. I picture him standing there with the mic, with the script, and he definitely ran through it just like he was doing a radio dramatization. Beautifully done, JCA. The voices and everything else. And what's that smell? Perfect intonation. I mean, you weren't reading it. You were experiencing it as you read it, and you lived it. You did a beautiful job, and you know it was believable, and it was like, you know, again, I definitely had that vision of the stupid shaky camera, and her, when you mentioned smell, that's what made me picture her stupid runny nose. It was like you know, seriously, but then you know the shaky camera and the whole okay, I'm going under the bridge now, and everything. It was wonderfully done. It was creative. It was a wonderful production, and I also agree with Sky. I don't think you need to write out the text. You could just, you know, put down, you know, whatever. It's a dramatization, a real life, you know, well, real life. It's a dramatization of an encounter. It's really well done. It really was. Excellent piece.
Excellent comment, Raconteur. And hello, AP.
Hi. How you going, Scott?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well.
Awesome.
So,
did you happen to hear KCA's? I'm not sure when you caught on.
I wish I did. I wish I did, because he does a fantastic job, particularly when he's speaking a poem. But no, I missed it. My apologies.
Oh, no worries. I wasn't looking, so I wanted to make sure I got you if I did. Okay, AP, I'm just going to say a couple things about the Ootown, and then we have yours up and ready. So the one that JCA picked, they're neither hounds nor oozes, but have similarities with both, at least on the outside. An Ootown is a truly hideous being created by foul sorcery. It can be smelled well before it is seen. The empowering smell of the slime it is covered in resembles the stench of rotten eggs. They live in wet, secluded locations such as swamps, lakeside, caves, and even sewers. So JCA, I mean, he even said it smelled like rotten eggs. So he was bringing things right in from the actual character. And then, of course, underneath the... you know, he always brought in the waterfall and underneath the bridge, and how he can just, what is the smell? Way before the thing attacked him, he was complaining about the smell. So he really brought that into hit the piece as well. And a little bit, I think I wanted to say, it secretes fluid constantly, and this allows it to climb surfaces and trap its opponents. It has a multitude of tentacles growing out of its back, which just freaks the hell out of me, I'm not going to lie. And they're all covered with sticky, smelly substance. Oh, my God, I'm getting the heebie-jeebies. Yeah, and it is an unofficial fan content, so just so you know. But there are ooze creatures in D&D. This is unofficial. And then it just has, like, it's sticky, you know, it's... its actions are multi-attack, the tentacle slaps. I just can't even do it. I can't even do it. And, so that's fun. That's a fun creature. That's pretty cool. All right, so, AP, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to apologize to you. I took them down only because I didn't know anybody else was going to reserve, and we were so close to the show.
No, my apologies. Yeah.
So next time I'll leave it up. And then the one thing with those is a couple of them that I had up, I grabbed last minute, so I didn't have them downloaded in my folder. And so that was one of the problems I had. I can't tell which one, because a couple of them I just took from – I copied the link image and I put it directly on that topic board without downloading it.
The thing I like about D&D is that the way I did it was, like, I used to grab the mystical creatures and I'd mix them up with sort of the animals of the real world, you know, and so I was actually sort of, it sort of could have been interchangeable in this poem quite a bit, to be honest. Critter I actually ended up using. So it wasn't, you know, it was fine, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay, great.
info. I love the idea of the River Styx. I'll talk about that in a tick. But this is across the River Styx, and it goes a little bit like this. River dark chocolate velvet, roaring in mix, our small party off for adventure and dare, near the Great Falls, off of the mighty River Styx, the party pitched a camp, the spirit's dark stare. We knew not to get too close to this space, logs lolling around the stones underneath, the huge crocodiles resident at the base, swimming upon trials with jaws open teeth. Just down the way where the foam lathers, a small rock path crossed over the shallows, and herd of deer away from logs gathers to reach verdant grasslands opposite fallow. So lined up slow and then with a rush gait, they jumped and hopped to cross the river. Below their lost dreams and histories berate, and in their reflections did the waters shiver. A huge violent splash from inside once mirror, the leading two deer left only pooled waters red. The rest jumped to a bank as rivers swirling stir, as into the teeth and claws of a faken red. End poem.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love this. This is wonderfully poetic. I love that you brought the River Styx in there. And I love, oh my gosh, there was so much. The party pinched a camp, the spirit's dark stare. I really love it. It's so ominous. I loved the image and the wording of logs lolling around the stones underneath. I really enjoyed not only the way that you wrote logs lolling, which I thought was brilliant, but also how you brought in visuals, huge crocodiles. You can kind of see this, these creatures kind of just underneath that, the layer of that dark, dark water. And then towards the end, when you start going into right here in this part right here, huge, a violent splash from inside once mirror, leading two deer left only pooled waters red, and you can kind of see that action. I love how you say the action. You're not like you're doing it in a poetic form, and you're not quite saying, you know, this is. You're using images to kind of replicate what is happening here. And so I'm just sitting here thinking and imagining these creatures being pulled down and the claws and that teeth of that hideous creature coming up from out of the water, which is freaky, by the way. you just nailed it, and you nailed it. Absolutely. And just a wonderful language. I mean, you have fallow, berate, below their lost dreams and histories, berate. I love that part too. I really am going to repeat every line because I really, really enjoyed how you, the omnius of it, the omniousness of it, the language and the way that you kind of built the story and ended on that creature just coming out right out and grabbing its prey. Really well done. Thank you so much, AP.
Oh, pleasure. Pleasure. Thank you.
And Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, this is how you tell a story. I love what you did because it's as much about the river as it is about what's lurking beneath. Because when you're experiencing it, this is kind of the takeaway. You're on the river, so it's kind of about the thing. You don't know that you're going to encounter the thing, and then it comes up in a flash. So if you're in the middle of this, you know, you're all excited or whatever, you don't really know what's happening. So it's not so well defined. So it happens in the wink of an eye. It happens in a flash, and you don't necessarily catch it. So it's almost mysterious. You know, I mean, with videotapes and phones and everything, you know, you may be lucky if you catch, you know, a frame or two and you can watch it and still. But, you know, if you were there and you weren't expecting it to happen, you know, one minute he was standing on the shore and the next minute he was gone. You know, that's what you hear. You know, that's the way people tell this kind of a story. And you did it beautifully, you know, and you rhymed as you did it. so there was that bonus as well. I mean, you know, I love the crocodile imagery and you know, calling them logs and things like that, because, you know, they camouflage like logs in real life too. That's such a beautiful thing. And I mean, there were hints of, you know, I kind of want to blame Australia, even despite the fact that that's where you're from, you know, because they say, you know, everything's trying to kill you. So that's what the takeaway was. It was like, you're at the river stick. Well, everything seems to be trying to kill you. One minute it's the river, it's the logs, it's the water. What is it? I'm just going to be dead. You know, you've got the confusion and the panic and the blood and the chaos of, like, you know, something's going on, and it's just a whirlwind of, you know, death.
Thank you, Rick. I'll summarize it well.
Awesome. And you said you would get, did you want to say something about the River Styx? I know that you said something that you would get back to that later. Did you want to?
Yeah, because, I mean, the nice thing about D&D is that it went back to some of the very old myths and some of the very old, you know, Greek and Roman type myths, and the River Styx was originally a Greek mythology, but, I mean, basically, the story at the end of the day, and it's quite complicated, is that basically the River Styx was holding all everybody's fears and lost desires and dreams, and so it was this sort of entry to other lands, because in order to get across it, you had to sort of cross what your dreams and fears were that you'd let go in a way, and so I kind of really like. Always, I love the idea of the River Styx and the fact that you had to sort of overcome your own demons in order to get to the other side.
Don't pay the ferryman.
Exactly.
Or you can get dipped in it, you know, and only have your ankle be vulnerable, and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Unless someone shoots you in the ankle.
and so there's that, but you're right, there was this sort of sense of the river in it, and that's why, you know, the river was staring and the deer was staring into it and all that sort of stuff, just because swimming up on trials with jaws open, teeth, the river was sort of the sort of base of the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. And, I love that you went with the River Styx, because I do tend to be partial to Greek mythology and the stories. I mean, I'm not by any means a pro on all things, but I do love the stories and have a good amount of them in my head. And so anytime anybody brings that, I'm a bit partial to it. So I do appreciate that, AP, definitely. I'm sorry?
Expect to hear from Tommy Shaw's lawyers.
AP, do you have a show coming up that you want to plug?
I yes, we do. As always, we've got our Saturday night show, Sky, and we have I'm just trying to look what we've got this week, because we keep on changing around a little bit. But I think what we've got is my prompt from a few weeks ago, which is Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Which, of course, is the line out of The Sound of Silence, but it's also a nice little line of its own accord. So write dark, write about silence, write whatever you like, really. So
awesome. All right, AP, thank you. I don't know. You usually have to go, but you're welcome to stay.
I usually have to, it's the middle of the work day here. So, yeah, back to the grindstone.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Pleasure. Okay, thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. I think Dev is calling pretty soon.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you plug your show back. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. Plug away.
Is it leaking? Halloween, it's going to be a monster bash at 10 o'clock Eastern on Team of Voices. And just, you know, bring anything monstery, scary, fiends and freaks and just legends and anything, you know, you've heard about. Or even rivers, apparently.
Awesome. Yes, it wasn't leaking, it was oozing.
Yeah, well, that was JCA oozing. You know, it's unfortunate that there was an expression back in the Old West, you know, they called someone a booze hound. So, you know, you got a it sounds like ooze hound, but it's a booze hound. So, no. And this is an ooze hound. This is different.
Awesome. Okay, so I am going to plug for, Sweet. She does have a reserve. It's not drop though, so I'm not sure. But Sweet Discussions is on tomorrow. What is today? Wednesday. Yes, tomorrow, Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And grab your muse and fudgel through with Sweet. And she has words that need to be restored to the English language. Do not preendinate in thy task, for overmorrow comes quickly. I love the word overmorrow. I think it's a brilliant word. So that one wasn't new to me. Some of these other ones were, though. A lot of the other ones, actually. Groke. That one wasn't. I was new to me. Someone who stares at you when you eat, hoping you will share. I want to know if that's a verb. So I'm gonna have to tell her she needs to put like the conjugation on here. So is it a verb? Is it a noun? Like, don't groke at me. Is that like don't stare at me while I'm eating, hoping I'll share? Because I think it's a brilliant word, and I'm gonna use it all the time now because I'm around a lot of kids and they do that a lot. I'm like, don't croak at me. I think that's brilliant. I think that's my new one, yeah. But there's a lot of them. Yeah, there's a lot. So go check out some of these words and ugliography, poor handwriting. Oh, my gosh, yep. I need to know these words. I'm so glad that she brought this alive because I'm a huge fan of words like this. So great. Join Sweet Pea tomorrow on Sweet Discussions to share that. That looks so much fun. That looks like so much fun. Okay. And I did not see Linda, but I feel like she is supposed to be on Friday night, but maybe not. Oh, you know, it's the two middle ones. All right. So then the next one is Saturday and, AP just plugged it, and the one after that, I really do feel like, because JCA and Sweet are on every other week, so I really feel like this is the week that they're on. Oh, no, it's not till the 15th. Okay, so then Monday night, it's Deborah Lee, Personal Prompt Monday on All Hallows Eve, and she has a lot of art choices with the Halloween dark theme, and they're pretty fun. Each person gets their own picture,
And there's always, again, a word bank at the bottom. You could use it at your choice. Go and reserve and write to the photo and bring her your spooky. And that is on at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. And then you plugged your Tuesday for Halloween. And that brings us back to Wednesday. So next Wednesday is the first of the month, so you know what it is. If you don't know, you haven't been listening long enough. Because the first week of the month till I'm done with this series is Star Wars. And we are on Volume 26, The Book of Boba Fett. And it's really going to piss Steven off because he's like, he's dead. But it was a really good series, all right? It was a really, really, really good series. And I love Finnick Shand. So I'm glad they brought her back and they had her a more prominent role in the series. I really liked her in the Clone Wars series, the animated series. So it took a lot of characters that I really enjoyed and gave them a bigger platform. So Boba Fett is back. He survived the Sarlacc pit. And if you don't like it, you can't get on board, then just, I don't know, enjoy it anyway. So, yeah, well, you know, it's just really cool. And if you watch in the making of it, they were riding a Bantha, and they really did the puppeteering, the whole head, real life, and the whole back. So the actress really got to ride this live action, really, in a world that's doing CGI for everything. And don't get me wrong, I do love CGI, appreciate it. But there's just some things. There's a beauty in puppeteering, and the fact that I got to see the making and this Bantha head puppeteering and the mechanical thing of it was just so awesome. They did a really great job. So
there's an artistry to it, like you're saying. Yeah, it's not the same as sitting on a pretend, you know, creature and bouncing.
Yeah. And they had this new sand beast that he created, and if you watch the show, I definitely urge you to watch the making of it because it was really cool to watch the making. So that's on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could write to any of the theme scenes, characters, and or quotes. Of course, quotes, you can go anywhere you want, even if off topic from the topic itself, which means you don't necessarily have to write a Star Wars poem. You could take one of the quotes and, you know, you could write whatever you're feeling or whatever you would like, as long as it's based on one of the quotes. And I will bring the fandom because I already have all my clips loaded for that show. And I think I have a clip of the making because I was so taken with it. So I actually do have part of that clip in there. So, all right. Deb said she was calling in 10 minutes. When was that? That was, okay. I don't know when that was, but I'm going to, what are we going to do? Oh, I know. That was a little bit ago. Maybe she got backed up. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, it's not time for halftime. All right, so I'm going to drop Stevens. And before I drop Stevens, he was not able to make it today. He did give us a SoundCloud, and he waits for these, like, all year long because he's writing this epic series, his Argo series. And don't tell me I didn't I had to have put it in there. But he is celebrating his anniversary. I think he said 17 years. I don't know if that's correct. It might be longer. 18 years. It's somewhere between 17 and 20 years of marriage or together with Kay. So I did want to say, oh, here we go. All right, here we go. Here it is.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. We love saying emphatically, it's happy anniversary. Not another day could be a happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy, happy, happy. happy anniversary.
All right, knock it off.
And that's, of course, from the Flintstones. So happy anniversary, Stephen. Thank you so much for putting in the SoundCloud for us. And all right, so I'm going to go ahead and press play. And this is Argo, chapter 15. I'm so excited. I can't believe he's just quite brilliant. All right, here we go.
First, because I'm always asked to give a brief synopsis of the last chapter, I will say that they left Wayberry and started heading into the wilderness on their way to the North Pass that they need to get through the mountains. They stopped for lunch where Argo did some more ranger training and Krosk went out and caught some fish for their lunch. And that's kind of where that one ended. And as always, I like to start this chapter with a few sentences from the last one. So this is Argo, A Hero Story, Chapter 15, by Stephen 76. Just then, Krosk came out of the reeds with a full sack. I got two for everyone and three for me, he elated. They all sat down for some dressed trout stuffed with dried fruit for lunch. It was another 3 days' uneventful journeying when they finally reached the city of Hookhill. Before they left the banks of the Lort River, they were treated to one more trout dinner, courtesy of Krosk. Since then, they had mainly dined on dried fruit and salted meat, so they were happy to ride into a civilization again. Hookhill, Zax grinned, a booming city with plenty to offer in the way of rest, food, and supplies. Argo rode up beside him and marveled at the buildings, which were mostly made of stone rather than wood. It also happens to be, Zax looked over at Argo, our last stop before we enter the North Pass through the mountains. That's when Argo noticed something odd. The people of the city were ducking into doorways and around corners as if they didn't want to be seen. Ekum noticed it as well. Are you seeing this, Zax? He asked. Yes, Zax raised an eyebrow. Something is amiss. It was when they arrived in the center of town that they were stopped by the captain of the city guard. He raised his hands high, and the 10 men that flanked him drew their swords. Be you alive or dead? The captain loudly inquired. Beg pardon? Zax was curious. A simple question, the captain continued. Are you among the living or not? A dead man would hardly answer, Kilrathoda, nor would he be honest. The captain gave his men a look, and they all sheathed their weapons. They approached the party. Zax dismounted, and the rest followed suit. What is going on here? Zax looked down the deserted streets. Normally, this is a lively and friendly place to visit. Things have not been normal for quite some time, Captain explained. As of late, our dead do not stay dead. Bray stepped up and asked, when did this start? Just over a week ago, the captain gazed down the road to the west. Mrs. Lorna had passed away. The day after we buried her, she came back into the city and lured her husband out to the cemetery. The next day he returned and lured his son out. Every day since, a friend or a relative has been lured out there. The city lives in fear. You have a corpse eater, Paleos spoke up. The captain looked at the ground and up at Paleos. That's what the monks said before they boarded themselves up in the monastery. That's what we know, he scoffed. But no one wants to do anything about it. When we try to go out there in force, a chilling fear grasps our minds and we retreat. Krosk chuckled. We aren't proud of our behavior, the captain scowled at him. But we just can't seem to get out there and rid ourselves of its curse. Perhaps, Zax put his hand on the captain's shoulder. We could strike a deal. Zax walked off to the side with the captain, with Ekin following. What is a corpse eater? Argo asked Paleos. A terrible beast that feeds on the dead, Paleos said gravely, and then assumes their form to lure more prey to its lair. Why can't they kill it? Argo shivered. They hold a blackness, Paleos whispered, that causes fear in the weak-minded. Zax and Ekum returned. The captain has agreed to give us free room and board, as well as all the supplies we feel we will need for our journey, Zax nodded at the party. He also said that we will obtain the service of his best man. For what? Snow asked. Do you have to ask? Catiline sighed. We're going to take care of the Corpse Eater, Krosk sounded excited. Gentlemen, Catherine walked up behind them, and ladies, please follow me to the Grand March Inn, where I'll arrange some rooms for you and some meals. They all climbed into their saddles and followed him to what looked to be the fanciest inn in the city. They were shown to their accommodations and invited to the dining room for the biggest meal any of them had seen in quite some time. Krosk delighted in the courses of beef soup, followed by pheasant, mixed vegetables and potatoes. The dinner was rounded off with an elderberry pie. They all ate their fill and adjourned to the porch where they sat on the oak rocking chairs and Zax lit up his pipe. We should prepare ourselves, he said. The sun will be setting in a few hours, and that is when the beast comes calling. I would like to lead the attack, Bray declared. I hold a holy power that can combat its darkness. Krosk rolled his eyes. I agree, Zax stated. Bray nodded. The captain told me that we should watch for a young man who was lured out by his dead best friend last night. Zax blew out a smoke ring. He feels this young man, who is now deceased, will come tonight to entice his father. Who is his father? Argo asked. Zax blew out another puff of smoke that assumed the shape of a skull before it dissipated, and then looked at Argo. The captain, he remarked. End story.
Absolutely brilliant. And of course, he had the Corpse Eater, and he did such a fabulous job with it. What I really love about his audios and his installments, I wouldn't say audios, but his chapters when he's doing these, he, and I think you're right, I said side quests. I was like, I don't know how he's going to bring in this Corpse Eater, and then Brackenthor was like, side quests, and I think you got it right. I love how he, you know, Stephen does not fail to bring in all his characters and the party into each one of his chapters, so they each have growth. And when you're looking at chapter by chapter, what's going on, sometimes they don't actually move too far. It's just one setting, and sometimes there's lots of movement, but through whichever way he goes, there's character development. And he does that by dialogue. He does that by details and perspectives and opinions and the way that they react to different situations. And when he's doing that in each installment, he's bringing to life these characters and he's making them well-rounded characters that the reader can connect with. And even if they can't connect with it and say, oh, I'm like this character, I'm like this character, and he does have a diverse, a well of diversity in there, so people could do that. But also, even if the other person is not like the character, he brings a depth to them where they're like, oh, I know his character. I know a guy like that. I know someone like that. Or I can definitely see this character in full life just by the descriptions and how they're reacting. I love the way that you brought in the Corpse Eater. And not only did you bring in the Corpse Eater, Stephen, I'm switching between talking about you and to you if you listen to the playback, but not only... Not only do you bring the Corpse Eater to life, but you also explain what it is through dialogue. So if you're just jumping in and you have no idea what the Corpse Eater is, you're actually bringing it in through dialogue to bring that character sheet in. I think that's a fabulous way to do it because you're enlightening your readers what it is, and you're also saying, okay, well, why can't they just beat it? Oh, well, it feeds on fear, and after it kills somebody, it kind of takes their skin and pretends to be them and lures them back to his cave, like, oh, my God, this is really creepy. And I love how you put that in there and the way that you did it. This was just so, so fabulous. You did a wonderful job with it, and Zax is just, he's such a, you know, he's got a lot of personality. and Argo is like trying to keep everybody on the same page, but Zax is just, he's like a little bit of a loose cannon, I think, and I just love it. But thank you so much, Stephen. I really enjoy these. I cannot wait, you know, I just can't wait to see if you do anything with it. I will plug your books after. And I think it's just brilliant, brilliant. What did you think, Rack?
Yeah, you know, there's a natural progression the way events unfold, and that's how he's telling the story so that it makes sense. You know, you don't just walk in like, you know, oh, I know what that is, you know, unless you're like a grizzled old somebody. And even if that's the case, that's how he introduces it. You know, it's a slow infusion of things unfolding. And, you know, there's bits and pieces and there's gaps. And as you encounter them, that's how he fills them in. So, and you know, you're not like out in the middle of nowhere in limbo. It's like, well, things happen. You go to bed, you eat dinner, you wake up, you sleep, or you try to sleep, or you know, something happens in the middle of the night. You wake up, you get awakened. So all these things, you know, are naturally unfold in how he tells the story, and he takes full advantage of that. You know, so you're not. You're observing, but you're along for the ride, and that's what he does to tell the story that's so brilliant. You know, you don't know what you're encountering necessarily. You're coming upon a pile of whatever. It's like, well, there's no sign that says, you know, Kilroy was here. It's like, well, let me poke around and see. Oh, there's evidence of this, and that could mean that. And then some old man will be like, you know, I heard this story once, and then that's how the legend comes about. And here you go. He's interested in that. And it's wonderful. And then he's got the character personalities, because you're talking about, you know, he's a loose cannon. You're talking about him like he's a person. You know, so that he's writing the character's personality into the way he's telling the story. It's like, no. This guy wouldn't just kick it over. He'd like, you know, shove his sword into it and stab it to make sure it's dead, and then pick it up by the edge of the sword and say, see, it's dead. You know, it's like, no. He wouldn't do that. He'd do this. And yeah. You know, and he stays true to how he's writing it. He's like, okay, well, if this is what this guy saw, you know, this is what how he would react. This is what he would do. You know, it's like, you know, oh, put away your meats. I'm gonna go catch us some fish. You know, it's like, hey, this is my character. This is what I do. So, you know, it needs to be in the story. It enforces the read and reminds you this is what's going on.
Awesome. Excellent comment. You're like so thrilled about that. So am I. I just really love the story. I mean, it's really, I think it's because it's a continuating story. It's just really, really fun for me. It's like a campaign all in its own. I mean, it isn't like a campaign. It is a campaign all in its own, which is so awesome. I do want to say hello to Deb. Hi, Deb.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey. How are you?
Hanging in there. How about you?
Good. Did you happen to – well, first of all, before I jump around, did you happen to hear it, Stevens?
Oh, my gosh. I did, yeah. You know, when you were doing these before and like, there was, like, a contest or whatever, there was no beating Steven. You could tell the fun he was getting from writing these and how much he dove into the character studies and the character building. And he took you, I think Rax just mentioned, he took you on this journey, and his details, his visuals just blow you away. And it's like when he dives into one of these, he's the ultimate storyteller. And I think the one thing that really stuck out towards the end there, he blew out another puff of smoke that assumed the shape of a skull before it dissipated and then looked at Argo. And I mean, you could just visualize that skull turning into the puff of smoke. I think he did an amazing job with this one. But like I said at the start, he always, always, always nailed his rights when it came to this Dungeons and Dragons series. I'm in awe.
Yeah.
Not to mention the enthusiasm that just came in Rack's voice as he gave his comment. I mean, what a write.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'm not going to say anything about the Corpse Eater because Stephen did a great job in actually defining it within his poem, so I'm not going to do that on this. I do want to say, if you do enjoy Stephen's storytelling, he does have a series,
It's the Eerie Islands. It's a prequel. What lurks behind the eyelids, the eerie ocean and the desolation. The Eerie Islands, the Eerie Ocean, and the Eerie Depths, and then, of course, What Lurks Behind the Eyelids, is a series he has done. And then he has a book of short stories, Desolation Earth. It's under Michael Bushnell, and you can look it up on one of the platforms, Amazon, and other ones, too. Just Google it. You'll be able to find them. So it's a pretty cool series. And so if you like a storytelling, definitely jump into those. Thank you so much, Stephen. And again, one more time.
Ha, 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 happy anniversary.
We won't play the whole thing, but happy anniversary to you both, and I hope you're enjoying the night. Mm-hmm. All right, so Deb, and thank you again, Stephen. You have two. I don't know how much time you have. I did plug all the shows. You're welcome to plug whatever you would like again if you want. You could either read these two for me tonight, and if you're crunched on time, I could save one of them again. I'm not sure how much time you have. So it is up to you. Just let me know what you want to do. I haven't read it yet. If you need to save it again, I could pull it over to next week. But you pick.
Oh, since you already, like, plugged the shows and all, I'll do both. But I'm looking. Oh.
Okay. But don't do them back to back, though. Okay? I want to get you separate comments. Is that okay? I would like to do separate comments for both, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah. No, I forgot about this one. This is fun, yeah. The book portion was The Turn of the Screw, and I found two quotes. One was, I seem to float not into clearness, but into a darker obscure, and within a minute there had come to me of my very pity the appalling alarm of his perhaps being innocent. It was the instant confounding and bottomless, for if he were innocent, what then on earth was I? And the other one was, there was nothing in the room the next minute but the sunshine and a sense that I must stay. Anyway, those are the two quotes.
Really?
And it's called, I sort of combined a little bit of the details from the book and the quotes. One second, I got us to eat.
Gesundheit?
Yeah, I never sneeze only once. I sneezed like four times that time. Always at least three. Okay. Phew. Now, this is called Ghosts Collecting Souls. And here we go. The park is an eyesight from the terrace, lit by gold rays at the breaking of dawn, heating as the beams and air coalesce, as sunshine lights the garden and lawn. Clouds float above rows of juniper trees. Stems swing on the wildflowers in bloom, pushed with gusts in the twilight breeze, filled with soft scents from petal perfume. Day falls for night as the moon rises high. Sparrows inside the tree branch nests coo, and thunderstorm shrouds darken the sky, spreading ebony shades over denim blue. Shadows cover storybook castles at night. Are they yesterday's ghosts out to play? If walls whisper tales beneath moonlight, do those ghosts steal the tenants away? Housekeepers and valets cling to estates, locked in the arms of a once earthly lover, now paired together in death-bound dates, watching the tenants and those lovers hover. They cannot leave and go fly in silver light, tethered to those they left behind in death. So they peek in the window panes at night, haunting them and stealing their last breath. End poem.
Oh, I love this one, Deb. It's going to go on my recommended list. This is really awesome. I let me first press these buttons first. Recommended. There we go. I thought this was so wonderful. I really enjoyed, well worth the wait. I pulled it over for yesterday, and then I was going to pull it over again because I really know that you enjoy reading me your new work. So where do I even start? I loved the images at the beginning. When you speak of lit by gold rays and the breaking of dawn, and you speak of the heating as the beams and air coalesce, and just the garden and the lawn, because there's this beautiful image of a beautiful estate and something that is taken right out of a picture. And you even say it some point right here, the storybook castle. I mean, you mention it at the a few stanzas down. And the way that you're describing it, it is like a storybook castle. I mean, you bring in the trees, which I always enjoy. I love when people bring in trees, and they don't just say trees. I love when people in poetry pick trees. So you brought in the juniper trees, and the stems swing on the wildflowers and bloom. This is just such a wonderful, warming image. And then day falls away and the moon rises, and then you all of a sudden you start bringing in these darker icons like the sparrows and the thunderstorms and the dark sky and the ebony shades over denim blue, which, by the way, I really loved. And you say shadows cover storybook castles at night, saying all these things are coming. And then the way that you say it, are they yesterday's ghosts out to play? I love that little dark playfulness. I loved how you worded it. And I love that you use things like tenants and estates and housekeepers and valets, because, you know, stemming from the time and where they were in this film, well, in the miniseries and in this book, they were in a high estate in England. So I liked how you kept with that kind of genre and that time period and that, the idea of an estate, that whole nuance. I love that you stayed with that. And then, of course, at the very, very end, when you talk about do they peek in the window panes at night, I really loved that. There was just something so eerie about it. And like, what's worse when you're trying to sleep and you're trying to stay safe and then kind of being worried about what's lurking, what's peeking in the windows ready to steal your breath? And just that you did an excellent job with that. Really well done. And Raconteur, now that I've talked for 10 minutes, if you're still there,
thank you, Skye.
You may comment.
You said, where do I begin? And with this story, I begin in the end, because you know when you watch a movie and then there's the reveal in the end and then you want to watch it again, because now that I know this, I have to watch how that played out again, because with keeping this in mind, that feels different, and I have to go back and look at how it feels again. This is that to me. It's like, well, you know, I found this out. You know, the thing staring at me and from the outside, and they want to steal your breath. But now I want to go back to the beginning again with that in mind, and then say, oh, yeah, look at how that happened, and look at what was going on over here. So there's definitely a different feel to it to the second time around when you have that spoiler, when you know what you know. It's like, oh, you know, because the first time through sometimes – at least in my mind, if it doesn't make sense, or if it's supposed to be like, you know, they're trying to trip you up, and sometimes you'll dismiss it and you'll be like, you know, well, that doesn't make sense, or that was dumb. And then in the end, when they explain it, you're like, oh, now that makes sense. And then you want to go back and watch it again. So this had that feel to it. But you know, and again, the visuals, the descriptiveness of what you do, you know, when you tell your story, is always lovely. You know, the sky and the denim sky and the colors and everything, beautiful, beautiful, easy to visualize. So, you know, but, and there's an old, thing about, you know, why cats and babies don't mix or something like that. You know, the baby sits on the cat's chest and wants to steal its breath. That made me think, that last line made me think of that too.
Cool comment. Thank you so much, Rex.
Awesome. And it's pretty awesome that you say that, because if you remember, this is, I'm not sure if you know, but this was a rollover from The Haunting of Bly Manor. And that was one of my favorite things about the show was that at the end, it all clicked and I'm like, oh, and then I had to go back and watch it all over again. So it's kind of cool that you said that her poem was like that, because it was written for that show. So really well done. Thank you, Deb. And
Thank you
can read your next one if you want to say anything about the rot fly, if you want to just not. It's totally up to you. On some of the poems, I did read a little bit about the character sheet. Some of them I didn't, if they had like the very definition in the work itself, but it's totally up to you. You have the floor, so you do it however you would like.
Well, I kind of think I put enough in for everyone to thoroughly understand the rot fly, so let me dive in. This is called The Rot Fly Hunts on Foggy Nights, and here we go. As the evening air and heated asphalt meet, moisture fuels the fog that rises off the street. And the rot fly travels cloaked by mist at night, spotlighted by moonbeams of cashmere light. He stomps through fields of overgrown grass on feet shaped like man's and big insect eyes. Limp wings are dangling over bony shoulders, dragging as he walks, trailed by swarms of flies. A blood-red egg carpet coats the grass blades, dotted by rotting corpses as bugs eat the flesh. Goo oozes from his skin as he huddles to feast, gnawing on a woman from a kill warm and fresh. Rot fly chews her thigh and then crunches the femur, lodging a bone fragment between his top teeth. Pain sparks his roar as two men walk up to him, pulls the fragment like a knife from a sheath. With eyes glowing red, he vomits maggot juice. Rot grubs lodge into the crevices and nooks. Screams echo and the bodies fall as arms flail, but fail to move. The rot grubs as rot fly looks. One reaches for the blood-red moss in his pocket, but his arm falls off, coated with the vomited goo. Maggots wiggle and grubs jiggle, eating the skin. If you see the rot fly, run, or he may eat you too. And pull.
I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I put that up there. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just grabbing things I thought were cool, and I just don't. I was literally, my teeth were clenched and my lips were back cringing when you were reading. And not because your poem is terrible, because I knew it was coming the whole time. I knew it was coming. And I was just like, oh, gosh, I can't take it. I can't take it. And then you got to it, and I was just, like, gagging. Oh, my God. So I need to gather myself. I, as we all know, don't like the M word. I'm not sure why I put the rot fly up there. I wasn't really thinking. And then when you claimed it, that's when I realized. I was like, I should have known, and I don't know why I put it up there as an option. This is so awesome. I really have the heebie-jeebies, and I'm like itching everywhere on my body, and I just can't even. Oh my gosh. Yes, so let's go to the spotlighted by moonbeams of cashmere light. Absolutely beautiful, by the way. Beautiful, beautiful line. And then you start going into the swarms of flies being dragged behind him. And then I think it was when you got to the blood red
the blood red egg carpet coats the grass blades that I started to clench my teeth. And I started going, oh, gosh, I think it's coming. You know, like talking about that rotting corpse and bugs eating the flesh. And I was cringing the whole time. I was really cringing. It was such wonderful, great, tangible descriptions, but horrifying. Just horrified. And then when you got to the femur, I'm like, oh, she's in it. She's going. She's going for the crunch and chewing the thighs and then crunching the femur. And I really was appreciative of that little tiny detail. Like, you can say someone's chewing up somebody, but when you start to, like, say specific bones and you start to say specific body parts, you can actually feel it. You can actually see it. You're like, oh, my gosh, my legs hurt just from listening to this. And then you get to the M word, and I was just, when you got to the vomit juice, and I'm not saying it, because I was just about in tears. I was just like, oh, I did it to myself. I did it to myself. I should have known she was going to bring it. Oh, my gosh. This was so, and then with the rot grubs, that was even worse. Like, now I don't even like that word. Like, anytime someone's, let's get some grub, I'm going to be thinking about the M word now. Thank you.
Oh, no. Well, that was their word, too. So, how could
oh
I have chosen
gosh,
any other guy? Come on. How could I have chosen any other critter?
I know, but I really didn't even think of it. I have to tell you the truth. I really didn't even, I don't know, I just didn't connect. Maybe because my brain is just so shut off from that, I didn't even think of it. I was just like, ooh, this looks gross, and I just put it up there. I don't know what I was thinking. And I would definitely run away. I would run away screaming. Oh, my gosh, this is excellent, and I'm still cringing, and my eyes are watering. So really,
yeah,
well
but you're
done.
Also
I'm having,
that's very cool, so, yeah.
I'm having
thank
an,
you so
an emotional and physical response. The raconteur. What do you think? Oh, poor raconteur. I'm sorry, Rac. Forgive me. Raconteur.
That's right. You know, you missed the runaway when you said runaway, but that's about it. I do, you know, there's that old Jonas commercial about see it wiggle, watch it. That was in the back of my head through bits and pieces. But yeah, you got the the bugs down pat, and there's something about you know, you talk about your character sheet. So if you imagine this is back in the day. And this is what someone encounters. This is how those character sheets come to be. You know, she's sitting there watching and observing that this is what's happening, and she's advising them, you know, if you see it, you got to run away. So that's how you know this thing is bad, not because, you know, it ate you, because obviously you wouldn't be around, but because you witnessed it, and she chronicled or documented what it is that she saw, and basically kind of created the character sheet, you know, that she wrote from. So that logically is how things, you know, evolve in my mind. So it makes total sense. You did a wonderful job on what you came across, and you know that they ratcheted up that oof factor. there was a scene from Lost Boys with the rice that came to mind too.
I knew that would get her. She does eat rice often. Yes, I hear.
Oh, my best friend. I love her. I love her. She's been my best friend for like 24 years. I think we're going up about 24. And my family, but she's very mean sometimes. She thinks she's funny, but she's like, one day I'm just going to get you, and I'm just going to go into your room, because we lived together for 13 years. She's like, and I'm going to pour some rice down your back as you're sleeping. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Never sleep again.
Wait a minute. Would it be warm rice or cold rice? Because there's a difference.
I have no idea. You have to ask her. She thinks she's funny. All right.
Yeah, but could you imagine Skylift getting up, Rack, and moving the sheets and all these little pieces of rice. Rice would not be the first thing that came to her mind. And she's your best friend. I hate to hear from one of your enemies.
Yeah, I know. She's so funny. I know. Well, one time, I will say, she says that, but there was one time when we were teenagers. It had to be about, I don't know, 15 maybe. And she was sleeping over my house, and my cat had ringworm, and I didn't know. And I was laying in my bed, and I don't know what she was doing. She was just doing something else somewhere else. And I'm running. I'm like moving around my bed, and I feel these things on me, and I'm not sure what they are. And I start wiping up, and then I realize that my whole bed is full of worms. And this might be where my trauma came from, but my whole bed is full of these little tapeworms that were coming out of the cat, and that had been for a long time. And she was just laying in my bed for a period of time. So when I jumped in it and I was laying in it, I didn't notice. And then all of a sudden I had worms all over me, and I was screaming, and I was really upset. And I jumped into the shower, and I'm like, I was burning hot water. And she's like, you're going to burn yourself. And I couldn't go in my room. And so the same person who said she was going to do this went into my room. I don't know where my mom was at. I'm not sure. But she went in my room, and she took all the linens off my bed, and basically every linen that was even in a remotely exposed place, and took them down and washed them all and cleaned them all. And I wouldn't sleep in my room for a week. I was mortified. And that might be – and I think I didn't like maggots before that. So that did not help me any at all. So she was very kind to do that.
The thought of cleaning up and dealing with that for you is pretty redeeming. So, but I don't blame you. I wasn't able to sleep in there for a while either.
Awful. Absolutely awful. I just want to say thank you so much, Deb. I really appreciate it. And just so you know, it's okay. No worries about last night. And the only reason why I re-messaged you is because I read almost all your poems. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
I don't know if you listen to the playback.
My God, I was going to pick one. I was blown away to see that you just kept posting them up there when I got back and logged in. It was like, oh my word. Anyway.
I was going to pick one too, but then I was like, you know what? We have time. And they're all great, and I was saving the last two I wanted you to read to me, but so that I got to the other one. But the last one I didn't read had the M word in it, and we ran out of time. But I got all four of them, and I was like, these are so great. So I was really happy to showcase them, and thank you. So I hope you didn't mind me reading them, but
no,
we really
never
enjoyed them.
I put them on the board, always skill free, and I'm honored that you did so many of them. I'm blown away, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, Deb, thank you so much. And I'm going to invite on Hatter, but hi, Hatter.
It was worth
hi.
The giggles. Hey, Hatter. And
hey, guys.
Rock and tour. See you later. Sky, thank you. Love and respect, everyone. Bye, Hatter.
Bye, Deb.
Thank you. Bye. Hatter. How are you, Hatter?
Oh, having a rough day, but I'll survive.
Well, we're going to make it better here. Deb just freaked us out. If you get a chance, listen to the playback, Hatter. It's a really great show. We had some really great sound clouds and really great readings.
Okay.
I would highly recommend this one. If you're going to pick one show to re-listen to, this is the one. Because JCA, Steven, Deb, they really, A.P. Taylor, they really knocked it out of the park. So definitely do that.
All right.
Yeah. So you – huh?
I hope mine qualifies.
I'm sure it will. I just love these shows so much. So here's the thing. During my halftime, during my D&D shows, I usually play a song, and I'm well past my halftime. So I'm going to play my song, and it's done by Jacob Oland, and he's on YouTube. He's like, play that song. Jacob Oland is a YouTuber, and he does book readings. He does music. He does D&D
parodies. I love them. My favorite one is definitely This Is Halloween. I play it all the time. Even when it's not Halloween, I just love it. Oh, I should have brought that one today because it's Halloween. And I even said I'm going to play it. You know what? I'm going to load it up and I'll play it at the end. I can't believe I totally forgot that because it wasn't up in time for the one last year. So I'm going to put it up. But for now, I have a parody. He's so brilliant. I would definitely look him up on YouTube because his parodies are just fabulous. And he does D&D parodies. So, I mean, what more can you ask for? But I usually showcase him during halftime, like I said. So I'm going to go ahead and play his song. And then, Hatter, are you in a rush at all?
No.
Okay,
no,
so I'm going to play. All right. So I have just Jenny the Deep, and then we're going to put yours up. But you know what, though? Okay, here we go. Jacob Oland. Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe. No, I know I have it. I just I put it in after. So.
The maggots got it.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe I'm not going to do it that way. Maybe I'm not ready. Yeah, well, I did put it in, and I uploaded it, so I'm not sure. Maybe I just had to refresh. Just give me 1 second.
There you go.
Maybe it got renamed.
I don't know.
You misspelled
okay, here
Owen.
We go. So this is DuckTales, all right?
Okay.
But it's not really DuckTales. It's Crit Fails. It's Crit Fails, and he's just so funny. All right, I'm going to play this, and then we'll go from there.
When I play in a campaign with all my friends, I roll good to everything. I go full send, but for some reason, I'm only seeing Crit Fails too. Every game I'm only rolling Crit Fails too. I'm unlucky with all of my Crit Fails.
Doing a little bit. Isn't that absolutely amazing?
That's cool.
Crit Fails. And I'm going to have that stuck in my head. Okay. So we have Jenny the Deep. I have her up on the board. Hatter, do you have the poem?
Let me check. Oh, get back here. Jenny the Deep. Yeah. I believe I do. Thanks.
All right.
Demonic
so,
children.
Yes.
Okay.
So she had, what did she have? She had the one you wanted, Dream Eater. I knew that one was going to be a popular one. She was like all over this topic board, so which is awesome because if you get first come, first serve, right? So she had the Dream Eater, and I actually can't read too much of that because, well, I guess I can afterwards. Okay, so this goes like this. Demonic Reptilian Dream Eater Creeps by Jenny the Deep. Spider-climbing reptilian keen-smelling demon, prowling in humanoid towns, dream-stealing. It's as sentient creatures are sleeping. These magical demonic monsters are creeping, exuberant and profoundly wise, yet vastly relying on sense for sight,
On surfaces and ceilings they climb, consuming dreams, attacking with claws tonight. Inorganically surviving, living off dreams, not needing to breathe, this dream eater takes metal energies aberrantly, slumbering victims never wake up once, lulled to sleep and home. And honestly, I don't even know if I have to bring in the character sheet because Jenny the Deep did a fabulous, fabulous job. My goodness. First of all, there was a wonderful, anything that crawls on the ceiling has like a level 10 scary factor to me. So anything that's critical, like, because you're supposed to be safe in your bed, right? Like nothing can come underneath and attack you from underneath your bed because you're on top of your bed, you're under the blankets, you're safe. But then you look up to the ceiling and there's this creature that turns its head around and looking at you and sticking up there. Like, I am not okay with that. I am just not okay with that. And you brought that to life so wonderfully. Oh, there was, I think Buffy. I was a big Buffy fan. I guess I still say I'm a big Buffy fan. But when I was growing up, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was like I ate, breathed, and just every, I loved Buffy the Vampire. And I'm sorry?
It was a thing.
It was a thing. It was a thing. I'm not going to say that I have all the comic books still and I have all the figurines unopened collector's items. I'm not going to say I have all that, but I'm a big fan. And there was one episode where they took this idea of this dream-eating creature that was climbing on the ceiling. So I actually have a really good visual from that show of this thing. And the way that you brought it into the poem, how you kind of gave it a base by saying spider-climbing reptilian, I love how you did that because if somebody doesn't really have an idea or a picture of what this looks like, and I always say a poem should be able to hold up even if you take the picture away. I'm a true believer in that. So when you are describing it by using an already known creature like the spider, it's giving the reader some groundwork to work with in some way to connect it to another creature that they know. But then there's something else completely. Yeah, so the keen-smelling demon, you're bringing in his stats right here. He obviously must be able to smell wonders. He's prowling in humanoid towns, dream-stealing. I loved that part. And then yet vastly relying on sense per sight. And yeah, like I said, the ceiling visual was wonderfully, and I liked how you brought in this little tidbit, not needing to breathe. So that must have been in the character sheet, I'm assuming, and I love how you brought that in there because you're kind of giving us the background of the character, and you're also like, that's also really creepy too because if you can't hear him breathing, I don't know what's worse, to hearing something breathing in the dark that you know that is going to get you, or not hearing anything at all. I haven't decided what is worse, but the way that you put this in here, Jenny, I was really creeped out. And also, metal energies. I want to look into that a little bit because that sounds really cool. And, yeah, the slumbering victims never wake up. They're lulled to the sleep. So I'm just imagining, you know, I don't know. Would you want to be woken up and then being scared to death? Or would you rather just die in your sleep and not know? I think I'm going to take a poll. So when it's your turn to comment, I want to know your answer. I thought this was so cool, Jenny. Thank you so much for – and this is all new to Jenny because I don't think that she's ever done D&D. And she was just like, all right, I'm in. What do I do? And you nailed it. So thank you so much. And I look forward to your future D&D rights. Bracken Tour, what do you think?
You know, there's a lot to this. that false sense of security, like you're mentioning, you know, I'm smarter than you. I'm looking under the bed, you know, I'm planning ahead, and then, you know, next thing you know, it's dropping from the ceiling. It's like, ha-ha, you know, there's a double factor when it comes to something like that. Yeah, you know, you don't expect it to happen. There's that element of surprise and that element of, you know, of false security, like, you know, well, I looked, you know, it's, every night before I go to bed, you know, I stick the broom underneath and I make sure there's nothing there. And, you know, I look in the closet and all this other stuff. And then next thing you know, it's like, did you check the ceiling? Why would I check the ceiling? And then it drops down on you. You know, it's like, gotcha. You weren't thinking, you know, and I love things like that. You know, that it catches you off guard. And that adds to the scare factor, like you're talking about too. It's like a magician or a magic trick. You know, you talk about magic tricks, misdirection. It's like I'm hearing a noise, but you know, I can't quite tell where the noise is coming from. You know, he's behind you. Ah, you know, that kind of thing. I love it. I love it.
Great piece.
Awesome. And what is your take? Would you rather wake up and know you're being murdered, or would you rather just sleep through it?
That makes me think of that expression, he woke up dead. It's like, well, did he wake up or was he dead? You know, and the whole, you know, spirit and afterlife thing, you know, aside, it's like he woke up dead. Well, then he didn't wake up if he was dead. You know, but
would you rather wake up being tortured to death, or would you rather just sleep through it?
only one thing is, if waking up has a chance of you not dying from this attack, then I would want to wake up. But if it isn't, no, hell no, I don't want to. Why would you?
Okay, well, what if you were in the DuckTales song and all you were rolling was critical fails? Then you wouldn't make it.
I wrote a piece one time about what Hatter does to you if you get too close to him. And what he does is he watches your dreams. You will meet him in your dreams. And then in it, I said, don't wake up too quickly.
That was you?
Because that's where I watched from is the ceiling. And freaked a couple members. I think it was Chaos, freaked her out a little bit. that was my first thing to creep people out, was, you know, being able to scurry across the ceiling.
That is freaking. All right, so there's your poll. Did you want to make a comment on the poem?
On the poll?
Poll. Did you want to make a comment on the poem?
Oh, the poem. Yeah, I thought. I was. But yeah, you got to. It's a good poem. It's a freaky one, and I related to it because I also picked that first creepage characteristic for what Hatter does when I visit you in your dreams. See, because when you notice when I say goodbye to somebody, usually I'll say I'll see you in your dreams, not mine.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No. All right. Thank you so much, Jenny Denique, for joining us. And Hatter. Did I put your poem up on the board? I'm not sure. Let me go back. I don't think so. And you had, what did you have?
I'll show you.
The blood-starved beast.
Yeah, the blood eater.
Love it. Okay, so I'm going to put it on the board, and you can go ahead and read whenever you're ready.
All right. I didn't see it yet. Let me get...
Check the ceiling.
Got it. Blood-starved beast. That's what I took. And I haven't read this since I wrote it, so I don't know if I edited it or not, so we'll see. I came across a blood-sucking bug who made his home in my Persian rug. He yelled for help each time he fed. He almost drowned in my waterbed. I saved his life that crazy night. I gave him CPR. I got a pulse and he began to breathe. I rushed him to the ER. He said, I had one wish to make. I could not believe my luck. I wished that he would change his diet. No more blood would he suck. He looked at me with those old sucking eyes. I can't stop, he said. That reminded me of what happened. If it wasn't for me, he'd be dead. I'm not sure how this happened, but now I have a pet. A blood-drinking beast I cannot believe. That's as weird as you can get. So now I am a criminal with a pet that I named Frank. And now there are armed guards you see at the local county blood bank. Feeding Frank, I could not breathe. He did not like the juice. He promised that he would not drink me, so I decided to turn him loose. I often wonder about old Frank. I hope he's not dead. I heard he quit the corpuscles and is on the straight plasma instead.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I wish we had Feed Me, Seymour. Oh, my gosh. Why don't I have that clip in here? That would be so convenient. I know. I feel like I should. This was awesome. Now I'm looking just to see if I have that. Oh, here. Of course I do.
Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long. That's right.
I'm sorry?
Is that Frank Zappa, the Mothers of Invention?
That's Little Shop Horace. Feed me, Seymour, you know? He's the little tiny clan. He starts off with a little bit of blood and then he wants to eat full humans. That's what kind of reminded me of this little beast that you have.
1-3-2.
Yeah. That's what it was like, having this little creature, this little pet, this little beast. That's what it reminded me of, with the little, because right here, he looked at me with those old sucking eyes. I cannot stop, he said. I reminded him what happened. If it wasn't for me, he'd be dead. I'm not sure how this happened, but now I have a pet. So you took, like, I love the direction that you took. You took the direction of, oh, this is this little blood-starved beast. I saved him, and he was my little buddy, and we're just, I just love it. And then, of course, it tries to turn on you, and so now I'm a criminal with a pet named Frank. I love, why did you go with Frank? Because it rhymed, like, did you just,
because it rhymed with blood bank. Wanted blood bank. Yeah, because it rhymed with blood bank, with bank. I wanted to include bank, blood bank.
Okay.
The bank.
I just love it. So I love the details that you brought into it, that you actually named him. And this had so much humor in it. And I think Rack and I both, I don't even think we could wait till you said end poem, because we were cracking up at that last line. And we were just dying. I mean, I could hear him laughing over my laughing as well. So I decided to turn him loose. And I hope that I do not see him on the street, Hatter. Because this is not something I want to run into. Wonderfully creative. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, you pick the strangest, make the strangest friends, Hatter. I'm telling you. How did he get in your Persian rug, too? That's another question. You know, did he write in on the cat or something? I mean, what?
I didn't bring him in. He's hanging out in the Persian rug. He's got good taste.
Yeah. So I'll teach you to shop those estate sales. I'm telling you, there's something about the, you know, those bugs and those creatures, and you know, that a lot of them, it feels like, you know, well, that they're just really misunderstood. If you reach out, you can have a really good friend. It's like, I'd rather have them on my side than be against them. So, you know, hey, maybe there's something to it.
They don't bother me.
Yeah, not when you turn them loose for everybody else.
Well, what are you going to do? He made me a criminal. I was robbing the blood bank.
I absolutely love it. Well, okay, well, thank you, Hatter. Oh, my gosh, that was That's the dark humor. It's the dark humor that we get. It's okay. All right, so Sweet just dropped hers, which is great. Great timing. She had the crow mauler, which I thought was just really, like, cool. Just read a little bit about it. So, yeah, let's see. This was, he was sent to the purifying the dungeons from the filth and depravment. Little did he know that he would become of the black himself. So this guy is like half human, half crow. And it's just really weird. He's got some pretty good, his bonus attack is flock of crows. The crow mauler summons a flock of crows to attack a creature. It can see within 60 feet. Target must make, a 16 constitution save. So he's pretty cool. Let me see his backstory. It was once known as Redimir, the captain in the army of Rondon, tasked with overseeing the dungeons before their madness consumed him. When the first signs of madness were noticed, he took it upon himself to purify the place. He sent out, in spite of the dwindling supplies of unfavorable logistics, to rid the dungeons of the depravity and filth that clung to them. But it was a fool's errand. Madness eventually took the captain, and he was said to have charged into the dungeons one last time, wearing nothing but a sheet of cloth after being tormented by dreams of crows. This is a really dark backstory. I'm really excited to see how Sweet Pea put it into her poem. So I could see already that Dara is in here. So she must have continued her story. And if you guys don't know, she's been kind of going through the D&D. I wish you would, if you listen to the Sweet Pea, you should put them all in one folder so they're together. Don't worry, I'm not needy or anything. but they are. She has this character from way back in the beginning, and let me know if you like it. Of course I will. I'll let you know right now when I read it. I haven't even read it yet. I'm going to be reading it cold, so hopefully it's okay. So Dara Brightfire is her character. She's had her for a while, and we've been going through her storyline. You should check it out. This is called The Crow Mauler's Desire by Sweet Pea. Dara's breath formed clouds of gray smoke as she spoke, her body groaning in pain from a foreign sensation, as ancestral ghosts singing the songs from the red dragon stones. The sun was cursed into the night by the flight of the crows. Mothers and fathers pecked from the beak of the birds. Blood and flesh flowed from the villagers' home. Crow Mauler, a chaos she instinctively felt, born in the light of cleanliness, eaten in the darkness, of filth buried by lies that loneliness tells. Dara could not run from the scars of his talons, the stench of dead wildings, trolls and travelers hung from the rotten beaks of his face. A whirlwind of fire flamed from the red dragon stones. Dara grew wings that covered the span of two moons. From the depths of her throat, a sinister brew. Miles of fire exploded, destroying the crow mauler and all living things within Dara's view. Her tears fell in showers, cooling the flame. Dara walked alone in the darkest of moods, having killed all her friends, seeking the catacombs of the Maulers. May they fear Dara Brightfire's revenge. And poem. Ooh, she's taking a darker path. I am excited to see where this story is going, because she just kind of made herself. Yeah. So I've really enjoyed her story. I really like that you are, and I know that I've said this before, I'm so happy that you're continuing her story and that you're, that you're continuing her story, because I feel like I know her now through all the different backgrounds, and the last one you brought in her mom and her background with that, and now you're kind of bringing her into a dark space and kind of saying, well, she tried to do a good deed, and she ended up doing a bad deed by killing her friends and not being able to control her power. And that's a really hard cross to bear. So now I'm really interested to see how she's going to deal with this, how she's going to try to seek redemption. I also love, by the way, how you brought in the red dragon stones and how you brought in the crow mauler, how you speak of, where was it, born in the light of cleanliness, eaten in the darkness, I kind of bringing in that character sheet where he was going in to rid the darkness out of those cells, and then he ends up being turned dark himself and kind of like having the tables turned on him and going completely insane. And now he's attacking this village, and he's doing all these things, and you're trying to kill him, not you, but Dara. And then all of a sudden, she unleashes her power, and it's too powerful, and then everything goes out. This is absolutely wonderful storytelling, and I like a lot of conflict in my stories, and I like when characters kind of go off the grid a little bit and take a turn and maybe have to deal with some, you know, like, how do you come back from this? I mean, that's why I love, the Black Widow, because her story is just ebbs and flows from dark to light. That's why I love Raven Darkholm, you know, Mystique from X-Men, because they're on the border they rock on both sides, and that's why I love Snape as well. So there's so many characters that I love that kind of weave into those darker places for whatever reason. And this is like a horrific reason, right? Because she was trying to save everyone, and she made a mistake. So I'm really interested to see where this is going to go. I hope you pick it up. I'm going to have to do am I doing a D&D show in November? I think I am. I think I am doing a D&D show in November. I think it's already up on the boards. So I'm really interested now. I want to know what's going on. This was brilliant. Yeah. I love the language. I love the storytelling. And, this one, the filth buried by lies that loneliness tells. I love that, too, like that insanity, how loneliness can bring about insanity. And this was brilliant. Thank you so much. I'm going to let someone else comment now. Brack, what do you think?
I think I like it. I mean, you know, how can you go wrong? It's just one of those things, you know. It's familiar. It's welcoming.
Excellent. And Hatter?
Well, how's she going to seek revenge when it's dead? My fire exploded. Hold on.
Damn. Shoot that guy.
Okay. Yeah, doesn't it? Isn't he dead, the crow mauler?
Well, but she's saying seeking in the catacombs of the mauler, so I think there's more than one.
Yeah.
More than one. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I love the way she left it. This just invites another rite, at least two more. Trilogy begins.
I mean, it does, but it's already a storyline because this person already, this sets her on a different path, though. And I definitely think I'm really interested in how she's going to try to redeem herself. Absolutely brilliant. All right, well, I'm so glad that you made it, Sweet Pea, on time, and I loved reading for you. Thank you. And, like, that's it, folks. I want to say my thank you. I want to thank... I'm sorry? Yeah. I'd love to make it a D&D Sky happy. Me too. She always does her homework. I remember when I first started these D&D shows, I would have been, I don't know D&D. I don't know how to play D&D. I don't write story poems. I don't write character rights. I don't want to do this. This sounds really hard, and D&D sounds like a lot of work. And then now I've got character writing pros around here, and not even writing characters, but writing whole stories and
campaigns,
series.
Campaigns.
Absolutely brilliant. All right, I want to thank. Let me go to my thing so I don't forget anybody. Okay, so. Let me go to my page. All right, I want to thank, well, first and foremost, thank you, Rack and Tor, for being here the whole night and, you know, helping me run this show. Thank you, Jenny the Deep, Steven, 76, Deb, Hatter, Sweet, JCA, AP Taylor, and I think that was it, and... I know Wayne still has one. He might give me an IOU. Thank you guys so much for participating. For definitely, even if you can't make it, it was so wonderful to have the SoundCloud, to be able to play the audios, and of course the callers. I'm sorry?
Who was the friend you were talking about that said that she could be mean, that you've been friends with for so long?
Oh, no, I said it was a joke. My friend. Who was I talking about?
And who was it? You didn't say the name.
But I give her the link. She listens all the time. It's my godchildren's mother, so she's probably listening or was listening at some point. She'll probably get it. She'll probably be listening
right
now. She'll laugh. I probably would have got a text if she was listening. You're still telling that story. we've been friends for like 23, 24 years. Yeah, so she's my godchild's mother. So,
I know who it is. You just gave it away.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I don't have any names. People don't even know my real name, Hatter. I'm not going to be giving out everybody else's real name.
She goes by. Oh, she's not a poet. Never mind.
No, she's not on here. Yeah, it's not
okay.
Sarah.
Okay,
Sarah,
thank you.
Known,
thank you.
Yeah, so Sarah I've known for about 10 years. Yeah, that's who you might have thought it was. Yes, Sarah, she's my best friend across the ocean. We've been friends for about, for about 10 years now. So, but yes, thank you, everybody. I do want to play the song before we shut off because I want everybody to have the opportunity. I don't know if I have an after-show clip. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. We'll see. And I hope you enjoyed the song. Now, this song is one of my favorite songs. It's actually my favorite song by Jacob Oland. And he did A Nightmare Before Christmas, and I love this. It gets stuck in my head. It's one of my goddaughter's favorite songs. She always makes me play it in the car, like, all the time. That and Boogie Down with whatever from the Labyrinth, the fire song. When they pop off their heads. She just loves that one. I don't know why. But I love this. All right, so thank you, everyone. Maybe stick around for an after clip. But it depends. But I left it. Okay. I have to type it in. Again, thank you so much. And this is Once My Computer. This is Halloween from Jacob Oland. Here we go.
Girls of every age, would you like to play a tabletop game? Come with us and you will see, this our game of D&D. This is D&D, this is D&D, tell stories and then roll the dice.
This is TNT with some Savers WC. Meet or beat, or you'll suffer from an awful fright.
Save the town, everybody scream!
In this game of TNT,
I am the DM who gets in your head, takes your backstory and fills it with dread.
I am the DM who steals everything. My whole campaign is basically the thing.
This is D&D, this is D&D, 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 D&D. Take the town, get the gold, everyone heal from the fog, it's snow.
Oh, this town, you love it now. Wait till next week for a big surprise.
Sneaking round the corner, man, hiding like a rogue, you can sneak attack and make it count, and a nat 20!
D&D, epic TTRPG, come now, where's your handmade dice?
Say it once,
say it twice,
take a chance and roll the dice,
ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Royal D20, Royal D20!
In our game of D&D,
I am the player who is always late. Half an hour passes before I take my place.
I am the player who can mismatch stats.
Really good at stealth and nothing outside of that.
I am the player always looking for a fight.
Call me Murder Hobo and I take it as a sight.
This is D&D, this is D&D, 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 D&D. Just those tieflings everywhere. We bend the rules like we don't even care.
TPK,
but we're not mean.
That's just how you play D&D.
Save the town! Don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Gary Guy Gax might catch you in the back and scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin!
This is D&D, epic TTRPG.
We cannot wait for a weekly game night.
Our DM runs a game that will never end.
Everyone hail to the Dungeon King now!
This is D&D, this is D&D, 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 D&D!
I don't really have an after show, but I thought Skeletor could make a couple laughs at the end of that because it sounds pretty sinister. Let me tell you how wonderful it is to hear this little child go, epic RPG. just love it. Such a wonderful song. All right. I didn't have anything really prepared. I need to get together with my after show clips again. I'll get it together next storyboard. So, yeah. I definitely do need to get it together for that. But, yeah, I've had a lot of fun. And now you can go to bed singing, this is D&D, this is D&D.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Skies. Bye.
Thank you.